Appreciate Brother Shane this morning. He's been getting much sleep, a lot of sickness in the home. We've been praying for him. Appreciate him being faithful and pressing out. He could have called and said, I'm going to lay in the bed this morning, but I knew he wouldn't. I know him better than that. I really appreciate him and his family. Hope, praying things get better for him quickly. So you get in here and help him this morning. Amen. Good to see Tim with us. First time on Sunday morning. He was worried, wondering if he was going to get wild. I said, no, this is our slow service. We're all asleep too. He said, amen. Get in here and let the Lord help you this morning.
Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house today, isn't it? Amen. I trust you've come, as has already been said, for all the right reasons. Amen. To learn more about God. Amen. To dig into His Word. Praise God. Amen. That's my goal. That's my desire this morning. And we want to continue on talking what we've been talking about. And for some of you that haven't been around, we've been talking about what is outward holiness and how and why is it important for us as believers today. Is it something that really is important? Is it something that the Word of God even talks about? Is it something that still applies today? Is it something that, you know, we could just kind of brush off and move on and it's not needed any longer? And I think as we've got into this and as we started to look at some different things and some scriptures, I think it's become quite evident that it is important for us today. It's still needed. It's still right. And it's not something that Brother Brent just dreamed up one day or some other preachers, some old-time, old-fashioned preachers. Amen. But it's rooted and it's grounded in God's Word. And as we dig into this and as we continue to look into this, amen, keep in mind that these are verses of Scripture, amen, that are clearly given to us from God's Word. And the way that we dress, the way that we look is just as important as the inward aspect of our lives. Amen. As we as believers progress in God, as we grow in God, amen, God wants us to not only clean up the inside of our life. He doesn't want bitterness to be inside. He doesn't want envy. He doesn't want strife. He doesn't want hatefulness or any of those things to be inside of our hearts. Amen. He wants us to be clean on the inside. He also wants us to be clean on the outside. And that's what we've been looking at and talking about some different things. And last week, we didn't get to finish all that I had planned, and which is fine. That's the way it works sometimes. And we'll just pick right up there today. But we talked a little bit about some principles that govern all of holiness. We said that there was three things or three principles that apply to all aspects of our lives. The first one is to be not conformed to the world. The second one was to abstain from all appearance of evil. And the third thing is to be temperate in all things. And we said that those principles will govern all of our life in all areas of our lives. But then we started to break it down into clothing. We started talking a little bit about clothing. We said that there were three principles that talked about and addressed clothing. And Sister Hunter brought up the point last week, and very good that it was, that it's not just for church time, amen, but it's for all the time. Amen. The way that we live, the way that we teach, and the things that we preach isn't just good for us to come in the door and do those things. Amen. But they're good to carry with us wherever we go. Amen. We want to show Christ. And so we started to talk about these three different principles that govern clothing in God's Word. And the first thing is that clothing will betray, portray, or display your spiritual condition. We talked that the things that are on the outside of our lives are direct reflection of the things that are on the inside of our lives. Amen. What we do, where we go, the things that we say, and the clothes that we wear directly show the world around us what's going on inside our hearts and in our lives. Amen. We use some examples there of Adam and Eve in the garden, that they were naked and how God clothed them. We talked about the story of Legion, and we'll talk more about him as we go along in our studies. And we talked about the Ten Commandments. When they come down from when Moses came down, he could see their spiritual condition, amen, because they were running around unclothed. And then we talked about the second principle, amen. Number one was your clothing will show what's going on in your life. The second principle is that God wanted a distinction between the man and the woman, between the male and the female, and he has designed it to be such from the very beginning of creation. Amen. And that's still important for us today. I had my sons reading the points for Dad as he was going down the road on the way to church. And my 8-year-old son says, "Dad, that's really good stuff you have in here." So I was impressed that I impressed an 8-year-old, I guess. But thank God for that, I guess. It made sense to him. And I guess if we can boil it down to a level that an 8-year-old can read it and understand it, we're probably doing the right thing. And we talked about that our clothing, amen, there needs to be a distinction between man and woman. And the third point was is that Adam and Eve at the fall knew instinctively to put clothing on. Nobody taught them. Nobody showed them anything. There wasn't a great discourse. They started to put it on all by themselves. And it's the very nature of an individual to cover up, and that sin through time has perverted things and has perverted the good and has brought us lust, has brought us enticement. And it has warped and mutilated, amen, what God intended for good. And we kind of talked a little bit about that here for a little bit. We talked about that within the bounds of marriage, the desires are legitimate desires. Talked about what motivates a man, and that's what he sees with his eyes. We talked about what motivates a woman, and that's through the element of touch. And as we started to talk, we talked about physical adultery in Matthew 5. And I'm just trying to lay a little bit of a background here before we finish up what we talked about last week. And we said that in physical adultery, it naturally takes two individuals, but also in mental adultery, the adultery that goes on in the minds of individuals, and I believe that it also takes two individuals as well. Amen. The man is enticed, amen, and he commits lust. And we talked a little bit about that and said that the way that a man deals with the problem of lust is to guard and to watch out the things that enter into his sight, amen, the things that he looks at and longs, amen, that a man needs to make sure that he's careful, amen, what he sees with his eyes, because if he's not, lust will begin to develop into his mind and into his heart. And we talked about that he needed to pray, that he needed to study, that he needed to ask God to help him throughout the course of the day. Amen. And we said that primarily the problem with for the woman is the element of enticement. Amen. The way that she dresses or the lack thereof, amen, will cause many a man to lust after her just by her walking down the street, amen, inadequately or inappropriately dressed, amen, and will cause men to have those mental thoughts or commit mental adultery with her. And we said that both man and woman needed to be dressed properly, adequately, and modestly. And that brings us to where we want to pick up today, and we'll just finish this point off and talk a little bit more about it, and we'll move on to another topic, some of the direct commandments that God gives us in his word. So 1 Timothy 2:9, amen, I want us to look there today. In 1 Timothy 2:9, and we'll finish up here, that man knew instinctively to put clothing on from the fall, and some of the points here that we're talking about. In like manner also, 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now shamefacedness has a couple of different meanings, and I want us to focus on this word right now, and because we had a lapse over from the different weeks, we'll get back into 1 Timothy 2:9 here in just a little bit, if the Lord should tarry. But shamefacedness is where I want us to look today in light of this point that I'm trying to make. So the word shamefacedness, so as a woman are to adorn themselves with modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now this word shamefacedness has a couple of different meanings, and the first meaning here is modestly. Amen. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with modesty and sobriety. A woman should possess shamefacedness and would be a woman that would be ashamed, if you will, to go beyond the bounds of decency and modesty in her dress. Amen. When a woman addresses herself with shamefacedness, amen, she has an element of modesty about her. Amen. So that when she would go out and she wasn't adequately clothed or she wasn't adequately covered, that she would be utterly ashamed, if you will, amen, to walk out of the house looking like that. Amen. It's almost a forgotten thing. It's almost a thing of the past. Amen. For that to even enter into our minds anymore. Amen. I know in my little boys, I've tried to instill that into their minds, and they go over to the neighbor's house and they tell all this stuff to the neighbor's kids, and they don't understand these things, Brother Lee. Amen. They don't know anything about these things. And there's no talk. There's no a sense of modesty any longer. Amen. It's a reveal all world that we're living in. It's just run down the street dressed however you want to dress, in whatever state of unclothed array that you may be in, and just show off what you have. Amen. Isn't that the world's thoughts today? Isn't that what drives them? Amen. We need to have within us an element of shamefacedness. Amen. That there is so much of God that's in us. Amen. And that we want to please God. We want to be obedient to God. Amen. We want to obey the righteousness of the Word of God. And for me to walk out of the house, amen, revealing, whether directly or indirectly, the things that I need to have hidden away, that I would be utterly ashamed by doing so. Amen. The world has tainted that view. Another way of looking at this is another different definition here is having a sense of timidity or humility in the presence of our superiors. So this is in regards to the woman, and I know in the worldly view today, and that's a whole nother lesson and a whole nother series on our places and our purposes. Brother Lee's smiling on me back there, but that's a whole nother lesson, and I've taught on that before a time or two, and I've taken some flack for it a time or two, but nonetheless, it's an important lesson. There are roles, and there are places, and there are guidelines, amen, for leaders and for followers, for husbands and for wives, and all of those are important. But timidity and humility in the presence of superiors, amen, there needs to be a respect or reverence even in the way that we dress for those that are around us. Amen. Ladies, he's saying here, ladies, adorn yourselves with modest apparel and clothe yourselves having reverence and respect towards others. Amen. When you go out and you leave the house and you go out to the store, dress in such a way that you have a little bit of respect for those that will have to look at you. Don't walk around unclothed, but be clothed. Amen. Robe yourself. Amen. And because you know what drives other individuals. You know what motivates men. You know what makes them tick, if you will. You know what excites them. And you know that you could potentially put lust into his mind because of the element of enticement as you walk out. And so have a little bit of respect. Amen. As you leave the house, if you will, as you go out your separate ways, keeping in mind, amen, that you don't want to be responsible to cause those thoughts to enter into someone else's mind. Dress with a respect and a reverence for the men, realizing how they are motivated. Amen. Another element here that I want us to look at for just a minute is found in Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Isaiah 3 and 17. Adam and Eve knew instinctively to put clothes on in the garden. They did not put on enough clothes. Amen. God made them coats of skin and he clothed them. Amen. We said it was almost like a tunic. Amen. It was up to the neck, and it had sleeves in it, and it went down past the knees. It clothed them. It adequately clothed them, and it hid them. Amen. But look at what the Word of God says and refers to here in Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse number 17. And the Lord will discover their secret parts. Why would the writer write such a thing as this? He calls certain areas of our bodies the secret parts. Amen. They are not secret because they are sinful. Amen. When God fashioned and he formed man, he formed woman, he created a very beautiful thing. Amen. The relationship that is to be there, the parts of the body and the functions that are there, he made it all with intricate detail and he made it to work together. Amen. That's one of the greatest reasons why we take issue with Adam and Steve. Amen. God didn't design those two bodies to come together. Amen. He didn't design them, amen, to function and to be reproductive in that manner. Amen. That doesn't work that way. That's not how God designed it. Amen. God made Adam and he made Eve and he created and fashioned and he formed the bodies and each aspect of the body to have a function and to have a purpose. Amen. And in the confines of the Garden of Eden, it was a beautiful thing. Amen. And so he does not refer to these areas of our body, amen, as secret because they are sinful. That's not why they're sin. That's not why they're secret. Amen. He doesn't call them that because they're shameful or bad, but because they are not to be exposed directly or indirectly to the general public. Amen. He refers to those areas on our bodies as secret parts because it's not for the whole world to see. Amen. You're to cover those things up. You're to tuck them away. You're to hide them, if you will. Amen. You're not to reveal them. Amen. They're made to be kept within the bounds and the confines of marriage, reserved for that special one. Amen. That you would make a commitment to, that one that you're willing to lay aside your whole life and enter into that special relationship within the bounds of marriage. Amen. That's for the time that they are to be revealed. That's the time that they are to be exposed, if you will. Amen. But in outside of those bounds, outside of those confines, amen, it's not right, nor is it God ordained. Amen. He calls them the secret parts, the hidden things. They should be tucked away. They are secret. Amen. The world that we are living in now, they have no regard for the secret things. Amen. You walk out, look at a billboard. Don't look at a billboard. Amen. It's shameful what they have done. They have taken the holy, they have taken the things that are meant to be secret and reserved, and they have exposed them, and they have published them, and they have portrayed them up for the whole world to see. What a shameful disgrace. Amen. When I look at how the world has taken the beauty of womanhood and how precious that it's supposed to be, and I look at how the world has boiled it down and made a mockery of it, and they have put it on display publicly, and how they have just made it so trashy and so filthy and so perverted. Friends, that's not how God desired it from the very beginning. It was meant to be precious. It was meant to be holy. Amen. Our bodies should not be for sale, and they should not be on display for the public. Amen. So in light of these three principles, the things that we wear, there are some questions that we should ask ourselves. Amen. When we go out and about, or when we get a garment in our hand, or we're going to put something on, there are three principles that we've just discussed here in God's Word. Amen. And I haven't given you any direct commands. I haven't given you any direct guidelines. But there are some things that you should ask yourselves in regards to the clothing that you have. Number one, what does the garment that I am wearing tell the lost and dying world about my spiritual condition? What does the clothing tell the world around me about my spiritual condition? Number two, does the garment that I'm wearing blur the distinction between the male and the female? Does the clothing that I am wearing blur the distinction between the male and the female? And the third principle, you could ask this question, does the garment that I am wearing reveal or accentuate directly or indirectly the secret parts? Amen. And as you apply these three principles to the things that we wear, amen, if any one of these three, amen, would be yes, or it doesn't appropriately clothe me, or it's portraying some bad character trait, or it's telling the world something else, then don't wear it. Stop right there. You don't need a preacher to get up behind a pulpit and say, don't wear this, don't wear exactly this, don't wear, you don't need that. Amen. If you get a dress, ladies, out of the closet, or you get a garment out, and you're looking at it and you're thinking about putting it on, and you stand there in front of the mirror and ask those questions, does it reveal something it's not supposed to be revealed? Amen. What will others think if I wear this? Will it show Christ? Does this garment, does it look like I'm dressing like the opposite gender? Amen. Apply it. And put it in place to our hearts and to our lives today. Amen. And these three principles will carry us through, and we'll apply them, and we'll get into talking about God's direct commands. And we'll talk about in just a moment here, if you don't have a bunch of questions, we'll talk about what God's Word says specifically about clothing. But these are principles that should guide us. Amen. I tell you, I would rather be given a box of principles than a box of do's and don'ts. Wouldn't you? Tell me where I can go, because I like to make my own decisions a little bit. Tell me here's what my realm of authority is. And you let me decide what to do inside this box. Amen? Don't give me this clearly defined a maze. Don't give me a maze to try to walk around in, because I'm sure to mess that up. But you give me the guidelines that God's Word gives me. You give me the principles that apply, and I can figure it out. I'm smart enough to figure it out. You are too. You're smart enough, even you, Brother Lee, you're smart enough to figure it out. All right. So those are some of the guidelines that God gives us. Are there any thoughts or questions before we move on? Go ahead, brother. In the store. Right. And obviously the world doesn't have teaching on any things like this. And they don't even make sense to it. Some of the stuff that we talk about today, and we'll talk just a little bit about that here, though, it doesn't make sense to the world. Amen. Years ago, people used to dress right. They used to clothe themselves. And it drifted away. Amen. Even in the worldly areas, people clothe themselves. And they've drifted from that. And what is it that's caused that drifting? What is it that's caused that decay? Amen. What is it that has placed us in a society that is so perverted? Amen. That they were willing to even do, just disrobe publicly, such as that. And of course, all it takes is one glance at the news, and you'll quickly find out, amen, that the world we're living in is in a complete and utter moral mess. Amen. Go ahead, sister. Oh, and yeah, he's right. You're right. He did say that about the rules at the Martinsburg jail. They've got it posted there. There are certain ways you're not to dress if you're going to go in there. You can't go walking in just clothed anyway or disrobed in any way that you want to, because the people in the prison know what it does to those inmates. Amen. It knows what passions, it knows what desires it unleashes. And that's not what they want. They can't handle it. And neither can we handle it. And that's why we teach and preach. Amen. We're not cheap. We're not for sale. No one in here is. Amen. We need to respect one another and do what we can to clothe ourselves. Good points this morning. Anybody else before we move on this morning? Praise the Lord. All right. So I want us to talk a little bit about, and I probably won't get done here, but maybe I will. I guess we'll see. Talk about some of the direct statements that are in God's Word regarding clothing. And it brings us back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. And I'm going to look at a couple more words that are found there in that portion of Scripture because it deals with our clothing, and it is a very familiar portion of Scripture. And the verse covers quite a bit more than clothing, but we're going to look at it just in light of clothing today. And so the verse is this. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array." And I want us to look today at, and I guess the first part is the modest apparel. Women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel. And this word modest means well arranged. Well arranged. Adorn yourselves in clothing that is well arranged. Amen. Wear clothing that is arranged so that it does not reveal, whether directly or indirectly, the secret parts of the body. Amen. When we go out and we are at various places, I'm sure that all of us have seen, amen, clothing that have miles and miles and miles of yards of material, and yet it wasn't arranged in such a way to adequately clothe the body. And the thing that comes to my mind first off is normally these wedding dresses that you see out. I don't understand why a woman would keep herself pure for her whole life, keep herself clothed for her whole life, and get to the moment of her wedding and reveal, think it's okay to reveal the secret areas of her life, the secret parts of her body. I don't understand that. I think you ought to just carry that thought right on through that glorious ceremony that brings two together and just continue it on right through the rest of your life. Amen. You've got yards of material back there. Just arrange it better. amen, cover up your bosom, hide your back, you know, do what's needed to be. You've got the material there. You don't have to spend any more money. Some of these women from India, they have yards and yards and yards of material. But yet, they'll have this area of their belly exposed. Amen. They reveal things that it shouldn't be revealed. It's not there to be on public display. Amen. Wear clothing that is well arranged so it doesn't reveal, amen, the secret parts of our body. Amen. It does not indecently expose us. Amen. Let me see here. Modest clothing is clothing that is arranged right to cover the intimate places on the body. And I keep saying whether directly or indirectly. Amen. You could have it wrapped up and yet still be revealing. Amen. If you ever doubt, and maybe I shouldn't even say that. Amen. Spandex clothes bodies, but it still reveals things. Amen. That's a perfect example I can think of. Amen. It clothes it. It covers it, but it doesn't hide a thing. That's not what we're talking about today. When you dress modestly, you're going to wear clothing, amen, that adequately covers and hides directly and indirectly the secret areas that are to be hidden, amen. Cover up ourselves, amen. If we're going to dress modestly, amen, we're going to need to clothe ourselves in such a manner, amen, that the material is arranged right, amen, that we don't reveal ourselves to other people. Amen. Dress modestly. Number two, the word sobriety. Amen. Dress yourselves in modest apparel. Amen. With shamefacedness and with sobriety. Paul is referring to moderation and self-control when he uses this word. Women, dress with clothing that is well arranged and dress so you exemplify moderation in the way that you do dress. Or you could say it like this, wear clothing, amen, or garments that are not showy or gaudy, amen, that causes attention to be drawn to yourself. Amen, I've seen people that have taken garments and they've clothed their body. It is correctly clothed. It is adequately clothed. Amen, everything is hidden away, but yet they still wear clothing, amen, that is showy or is gaudy. And what the first thing it does is it draws attention to your life. Don't wear clothes like that. Amen. Don't wear clothing, amen, that when you walk into the room, the first thing it does is draws the attention of everyone else there. Amen. Don't wear clothing, amen, that causes heads to turn. Now, I know many are sitting there today and think, well, this is totally different. And it is totally different than the world's viewpoint. Amen. It is totally different than the worldly ideal. It is totally different than the mindset of the lustful men that are out there in the world. Amen. It is totally different than the perverted world of Hollywood. Amen. I don't want to be like those people. They're not headed the same place I'm going. Amen. They're not following God's word. Amen. They're not following the principles in the book of the word of God. Amen. And I need to clothe myself in such a manner, amen, that it does not draw attention to myself when I walk into the room. Amen. I know many of you have probably heard that. I guess she's a singer. I don't even know. I've heard guys at work talk about this Lady Gaga thing. And I guess she wears about whatever. Somebody said she wore some meat dress and has these big hats. And I don't even know. I don't even care. Amen. But from what I understand is that it draws attention. It draws the eyes. It causes people to look at her. They say that she can't even walk out into the middle of town or where, I don't know where she lives, New York City out west. I don't know. But wherever she's at, the individuals have to go with her. Amen. To keep back the masses because it draws the attention so much. Friends, when I walk out and when you walk out, amen, don't dress in such a manner, amen, that it draws the eyes of everyone. Blend in, if you will. Amen. Dress in such a way that it's not showy or not gaudy, amen, that causes people to look at you and let their eyes linger upon you. Wear clothes that exercise moderation in style and color and in cost. Amen. We're clothing that exercises moderation. We're talking about moderation in our dress. Amen. It should not look like we're going to a fashion show when we go out. Amen. When we go out and about, amen, we don't need to dress and doll ourselves all up in such a way that people sit there and look at us and go, oh, wow, look at that person. Amen. That's not what we're needing to do here. That's not what Paul is teaching us. Which brings us directly to our third point, which is costly array that is mentioned here. To dress adequately and modestly, you do not have to wear the most expensive clothing that is out there. Amen. If you're only buying something for the name, you're buying it for the wrong reasons. Amen. I see individuals that wear shirts, and Brother Brent was telling me about this the other day, about some of the things that his dad wouldn't let him wear as a kid growing up, and mine as well. When you look at some of the clothing that people wear, they wear it just because of the name that's on it. The big thing in my day was Guess jeans. I don't even know if they still make those things or not. I have no idea, do they? But it was so cool to wear Guess jeans. And you'd roll the bottom of them up a little bit, and I guess it was called pegging your jeans. You ever remember? You remember that? You'd roll them up a little bit and tie a little knot there or whatever you did. I don't know. I can remember one time trying that with the rustlers that I had on that we'd bought from the Dollar General or something like that, or from Walmart. And my dad took one look at me and said, "What are you doing? Get that undone." It looks so goofy. I was cool, Brother Lee. I was cool. Until Dad got a hold of me, that wasn't so cool anymore. It was kind of warm. Hallelujah. But that's something else. So dress in such a way, amen. It doesn't have to be, I'm not talking buy the cheapest thing. Amen, because you know that principle, you pay for what you get what you pay for. Amen, I'm not talking about just going out to, you know, the dollar store and buying clothes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you've got to go out and you've got the newest name happens to be Guess, and you've got to plaster it all over your clothes, and you feel that you've got to wear those things so you fit in, or you got to go have to have those Air Jordan shoes because that's the newest thing that just got released, or I don't even know what this newest style thing is. Amen. I'm not keeping up with it, and maybe you do, but if you've got to have the latest and greatest name brand of shoes, or you've got to have the best of this or that because of the name on the tag, you're buying it for all the wrong reasons. Amen. I don't support what those people support. I don't believe what those people believe. Amen. I remember as a kid, I always wanted those Nike pumps or whatever air pump or up shoes. Thought those were the coolest things. You know, you can just put a little air in your shoes and walk around floating on air. I don't know. I had one pair. They were Spalding's. Amen. That we splurged on and bought. My grandma did one time when she came out to visit us. And I thought I was so cool. But not quite as cool as the other kids because they had the real deals. I had the cheap substitute. Don't just go out and go to the fashion stores. Sometimes you can go out and you can buy some good deals. Buy some good deals. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being smart in what we do. Being moderate in what we do. Amen. If you've got to go out and you've got to spend, $1,000 on a suit every other week, or you've got to go buy a brand new dress and you've got to go down to the fancy dress shop to buy it, you're not doing it right. Amen. Be moderate. Amen. In our array. Amen. Clothe ourselves. Adequately clothe ourselves. Amen. But don't go hog wild. All right. Sir, Titus 2. Let's move here. Titus 2, 3 through 5. Paul is talking to the older women and how they should teach the younger women of the church. And he says this, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh godliness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I want us to look today at this one word here, this word discreet. The older women are to teach the younger women to be discreet. And this word here applies even to clothing. Amen, which is what we're talking about today. We need to be discreet in our clothing. Amen. And the idea behind this word is to have an element of sanity or to have a sane mind even in the way that we dress. Amen. Dress like you have some sense, right? Dress like you've got some brains. Amen. Don't think, what were you thinking when you put that on? Teach the younger women to have a sane mind. Before we are saved, we cannot understand and accept the things of God. Some would even say they are insane to us. Amen. When we go out to the world and they look at us and they say, this, it doesn't make sense. What are they saying? I can't understand it. I can't fathom the things of God. But friends, when we get saved, the Spirit of God will give us an understanding in the things of God. Amen. And even in regards to the way that we dress, the things of God now start to make sense to us. Paul tells the older women, teach these younger women to have some sense. No reflection on anyone or anything, but holiness makes sense. Dressing right makes sense. Clothing ourselves correctly and adequately makes sense. In light of all the things that we've already talked about, already it begins to make sense. If I dress inadequately, if I dress inappropriately, it causes people to have thoughts that they should not have. It causes their eyes to linger on places and on things that they are not to be doing. Amen. And it makes sense to clothe ourselves. Covering up our bodies just makes sense. Remember the story of Legion I told you about just a little bit ago. If you think that clothing and having some brains or common sense doesn't match, in 8 and 35 of the book of Luke, Christ had just delivered Legion and he was saved. And the passage says, then they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He had some sense about him. He was clothed. They were afraid, it says. When you look at that, you may think that there's no connection, but there is. When you have your wits about you, when you have the sense that God gave you, it all makes sense, the reason why we need to cover up. It makes good sense why we need to dress right. Amen. It makes good sense why we need to teach the women to be discreet. Amen. And to have some sense about the way that they dress. Amen. Because, ladies, the way that you dress, amen, will cause men to have thoughts that are inappropriate if you dress that way. Amen. It makes sense that you need to wrap your body up. You need to hide some things. You need to cover up your body. Amen. Because there is such a lustful world that is out there that is looking at any little thing that they can get their eyes upon. Amen. And it causes men to go crazy and wild. And it makes sense to cover up and to hide those things and to reserve them within the confines of marriage. Amen. Let me see how much time I got left here. 10:54. My, oh my. Any questions or anything before we move on? I got another verse of scripture. Go ahead, sister. You're fine. Amen to that. And when I look at, there is the worldly view and there is the godly view. And when you look at the worldly view of things and marriage anymore, the world has completely made a mockery of marriage. And they've scorned it away. And any old woman can walk down the aisle anymore with a white wedding dress on. And I don't know, I just got a different opinion about it. Growing up as a kid, Brother Lee, I remember one time I was being goofy and I went down to the Goodwill store and I bought me a military outfit and I put it on. You know, Marine Corps outfit, had the emblems, the whole nine yards. I walked in the house. My dad was a Marine. Amen. He had earned the stripes. He earned the patches. I walked in the house and he took one look at me and he said, get that off. I'm just being silly, Dad. And he said something to me. He says, you've not earned the right to wear that. You didn't earn those stripes. You didn't go through boot camp. You didn't walk through the junk. You don't deserve to wear that. I learned a very important lesson, Brother Hunter, from that. There are some things that you have to earn the right to wear. When we get to glory, God will give us a white robe. He won't give it to everybody, but he'll give it to those that have earned the right to wear that white robe. Those that have kept themselves pure, those that have kept themselves holy. My friends, when you enter into, and I know Brother Brent probably believes the same way I do on that, but and he can elaborate later, but when you are walking down that aisle, and that lady has on that white robe, it's a right for her that she's earned that she should wear that robe. Amen. It's a right. Amen. And it's a beautiful thing. And she's kept herself pure. She's kept herself holy. She's kept herself for her husband. Amen. And it means that which is very, very special. And I can remember when we were talking about getting married, and I had concerns. I just asked my wife. I said, "Is it correctly clothed?" She says, "You know it does." And I said, "You're right. I do know that it will." Because I didn't want the whole world to know. I didn't want the whole world to see. It's supposed to be covered. It's supposed to be clothed. And the thing that you've kept, the reason you're wearing this white robe coming down the aisle, amen, you've kept yourself and you've reserved it and you've maintained it, if you will, your virginity and your purity. Now's not the time to just blow it all away. Amen. Cover up. Clothe ourselves. Amen. God bless you this morning as you go into the remainder of this service. Hallelujah.